If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 13. This is the final message in our series, Known. And it's been kind of a holiday series, and I've been talking about the truth that God knows us. He wants us to know Him, to develop a deep and personal relationship with Him. And He wants us to make Him known. This was inspired by the Christmas song, Do You Hear What I Hear? And in that song, it makes four different statements. The song itself is not really what I'm talking about, but there's just four statements that kind of stuck out to me one day as I was listening to it. And the Holy Spirit just kind of downloaded these messages. And the four statements are, do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? And listen to what I say. If you ever go back and listen to that song, maybe those statements will pop out to you now. Do you see what I see? God sees us. And more importantly, He loves what He sees in us. And we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. Because the way He sees us is the truth. And the truth makes us free, the Bible says. God hears us. Do you hear what I hear? God hears us. And we can hear God. And here's what I also want you to know is the thing that God speaks over you are not things to hurt us. He doesn't speak over us shame, but He speaks over us love and acceptance. Do you know what I know? God knows you, and you can know God, not just know about Him, but you can know Him personally. You can have a real relationship with Him. And having a relationship with God is a good thing because God Himself is good. He is good. He's worth developing a relationship with. So those are the three statements that I've talked about before Christmas. This final Sunday of the year, I want to talk about this last statement. Listen to what I say. As we get to know God, we learn to listen to Him. But do we really listen? Do we really listen to Him? Just like in a natural relationship, if we're in a natural relationship with someone else, maybe it's our spouse, maybe it's a friend or loved one, in a natural relationship, if we never listen to the other person, that's not much of a relationship. We're really missing out on the blessing of the intimacy that relationship has to offer us. If we never listen to the other person, if we never try to listen to their heart, try to listen to what they're really saying, really leaning in and really engaging in that relationship, if we're not listening, then we're missing out on a tremendous blessing. And it's the same way really with God. If we're not listening to Him, really listening, leaning in and engaging with Him, we're missing out on the blessing of an intimate relationship with Him as well. As I was preparing this message, I kept coming back to one particular verse in Matthew chapter 13. And I just said, turn to Matthew 13 today, and I'm going to be hanging out there really just in this one verse. I couldn't get this out of my head. God was trying to speak to me, but like this message title, listen to what I say, I wasn't really listening. God was trying to speak to me, and I wasn't quite listening either. So I started listening. And He wasn't just speaking this message for you. I want you to understand this today. He was speaking it first to me. It's something that He's been speaking to me over and over again for the last several months. He's speaking this particular message into my heart. And so in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, I was reading this, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And this is the NIV version, the New International Version. Matthew 13, verse 15 says, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Talking about seeing. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? They are hardly hearing with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And so remember now, God is first speaking to me as your pastor. He's speaking to me personally, not as your pastor, but as His son. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. And so the Father is speaking to me personally, and He says this, "For this people's heart has become calloused." Now, I'm not talking about you, and He's not talking to me about you. He's talking about me. he's talking to me about me. And I was like, God, what, wow, my heart has become calloused. I don't know if I like that, Lord. That's almost offensive. And so I wondered what the word calloused really meant. So I read it in the New King James Version. The New King James Version is the version of the Bible that I read probably most often. It's the one that I teach from most often. And so I read the same scripture. Here's the New King James Version. It says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Okay, Lord, first I'm callous. Now you're saying I'm dull. That's what it says. The hearts of the people have become dull. I said, Lord, I don't like that even any better. And so I thought, well, I wonder what the message has to say about this. I know that's kind of weird. I don't know why it did that. Whenever we cross it over from Keynote to PowerPoint and then send it to this from one computer to the other, it messes it up and turns things weird and blue. So hopefully it won't all be like that. But I decided I wanted to read this in the Message. So this is the Message translation. Go ahead and put that next translation up. This is a message for the, it says this, "The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. God, I'm calloused, I'm dull, I'm a blockhead. Please hear me, I'm not talking to you today from God. God's talking to me. God's saying this to me, all right? He's saying, I want to say something to you. And so I read it, and it says, I'm callous. My heart's callous. I don't like that. My heart's dull. I don't like that. And then it comes right out and says, you're a blockhead. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't want to be this way. And so I went to the old King James. I went old school on this. I looked up what it said in the old King James. It says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." That's pretty funny. I have no idea what that meant. "And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them." Waxed gross, Lord, I don't want to be callous. I don't want to be dull. I certainly don't want to be a blockhead, and I don't know what waxed gross is, but I'm pretty sure I don't want to be that. So I went to the Greek, and I looked up waxed gross. The word gross is different than kind of the way we use it today in the Greek. The word gross actually means to become thick. So when you apply... You can change. Well, I don't know what's the next one there. Does it say wax gross there? Yeah, sort of does. It's hard to see, but the word gross means to thick. And when you add the word wax to that, what does it mean? Well, when wax is hot, it's melted. It's almost a liquid, and it's pliable. It's moldable. It can be molded and shaped, right? But when it's gross, when it becomes gross, the word gross means to thicken. Or if you put it in terms with wax, what happens when the wax thickens? Hard. It becomes hard. Right? Y'all, we just had candles in here for our candlelight service. Some of you experienced this firsthand. It was dripping. It was hard. And then it was dripping. And then it dripped on something. And then it hardened again. Did anybody get wax on your clothes this year? Or on the chair or on the floor, you know. It becomes hard. That's what this is talking about. What Jesus is saying in the scriptures, their hearts are hard. It's calloused, dull. They're closed-minded. They're blockheaded. In other words, there's a blockage in their head. They're closed-minded. They're hard. They've waxed gross. That's what this scripture is actually talking about. And this was what God was speaking about. What Jesus is saying is, don't let your heart become hard. And that's what I want to say to you this last Sunday in this series of this year, going into the new year. Don't let your heart become hard. That's what Jesus is saying to all of us here. And I want to say that because we need to keep this from happening in order to be healed. To keep this from happening, we really need to listen to what Jesus is saying. We don't need to close our eyes and close our ears. That's what he said in this whole scripture. He said all over and over again, he said, they close their eyes. They see, but they don't see. They close their ears. They plug their ears up. They hear, but they won't listen. We, in order to keep our hearts from growing hard, we need to listen to what he says. Listen to what I say. That's the title of this message today. Listen, Jesus is saying, listen to what I say. Now, have you ever been talking with someone and not really listening? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and not really been listening? What are we usually doing? Well, sometimes maybe you're daydreaming, but a lot of times you're talking with somebody and you're not really listening to what they're saying. You're kind of thinking about what you want to say next. Come on. And listening, the fine art of listening sometimes has actually become a lost art. We need to listen, really listen, to what Jesus said. In fact, earlier in this passage and over again throughout Scripture, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. In other words, you all have ears, but are you listening? Are you really listening? In order to keep our hearts from growing hard, Jesus says here we need to listen because that they had already made up their minds what they were going to believe and do, and that's why their hearts had become hard. They had already, many of the people there listened to him and they did follow him, but there were people there that particular day when he made this comment, when he made this statement, that your heart has become calloused, it's become hard, it's waxed gross. Don't be a blockhead. Don't be dull, dim-witted. Open your eyes, open your ears, and listen. Listen. And there was a lot of people there. Listen, listen. They had already made up their mind what they were going to believe about Jesus. And before we're too harsh on them, sometimes we have the same problem. And maybe it's not the same problem they had in that they were rejecting him, not accepting him as the Messiah or whatever. Maybe sometimes it's other things that we have in our minds about ourselves, about other people, or about our ideas about God. Sometimes we make up our mind and we need to listen instead with open spiritual ears. Max Lucado said it like this. He said, your eyes have lids, but your ears don't. We can close our eyes, but God didn't design us to close our ears. Our ears are always meant to be open to listen to what he says. Yeah, that's for free. But let's look at it again in the NIV. For this people's hearts has become calloused or hard. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, this is really the word for the new year. Some pastors wait till the first Sunday. I'm getting a head start on the new year. God wants to do some healing work in our heart. And I'm just proclaiming, I believe that 2019 is going to be a year of inner healing in this church. And in order for this to happen, we need melted hearts. We need melted hearts. We need pliable hearts. We need soft hearts, moldable hearts before God. We can't let our hearts grow cold and hard. We have to open to our hearts to new thoughts and ideas about God and about ourselves. Old beliefs may need to be challenged. And I'm not talking about our fundamental faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm certainly not talking about our stance on the Word of God. Because we believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, and we stand on that. I'm not talking about those fundamental beliefs, but sometimes we have ideas about ourselves, we have ideas about about others, we have ideas about God, and it doesn't really line up with Scripture. It doesn't really line up with the character and nature of who God really is. Maybe it comes from an old religious mindset, traditions. Maybe it's dealing more with our life experiences or what we've heard other people say. Maybe it's those lies that we hear the enemy speak into our minds over and over again to where we've just actually, it's become second nature to us and we've come to believe it about ourselves or about others or about God. We need to challenge wrong beliefs. There were people there who were listening to Jesus, but they were not really listening. They had already made up their mind what they were going to believe. And so I want to show you today, my points are kind of basic here, but Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. And how often does this happen? It happens a lot, I believe, but I've even been guilty of this, even this year. I've said this kind of over and over. This has been the worst and the best year of my life. In some ways, it's been the worst year of my life. In some ways, it's been the best year of my life. Some of the bad things that have happened have actually led to good things. But all in all, I've been kind of saying, boy, I'm ready for this year to be over. Can anybody relate? But the truth of the matter is if something isn't healed, if something isn't changed on December 31st, it's still going to be there on January 1st. Just because the date changes and we switch from 2018 to 2019, if you got a problem on December 31st of 2018, chances are it's still going to be there when you wake up on January 1st in 2019, right? And if things are okay in your life, you're not going through maybe some much trials or whatever, chances are you're going to face some next year just like you faced some last year, you know? And so what God really wants to do, Jesus wants to heal you. That's what this passage again said. He said they close their eyes, they close their ears, they don't see, they don't listen, and they don't let me change their heart, they don't turn so that I can heal them. God really wants to heal you. He does want next year to be better than last year. He wants to heal you. And when I say that, please hear me today. I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about emotional healing. I'm talking about mental healing. I am talking about spiritual healing and even physical healing. Maybe it's even financial healing. God wants to work in you a healing process from the inside, from your heart. He wants your heart to not be hard, but to be soft before Him. And I was in a conversation with Jennifer just yesterday, and she was trying to tell me something, and I was trying to tell her something. And she was listening to me, but I wasn't listening to her. Because I was thinking about, why is she not understanding what I'm saying, and maybe I need to say it a different way, and I wasn't listening to her. She was listening to me, but I wasn't listening to her. And so we do this thing now. We learned this a while back. It's called time out. Have you ever said that to your children? You need a time out. Well, sometimes as grown-ups, we need a time out. And so I took a time out. Went to the corner. Put my face to the wall. No, I didn't. I didn't do that, but I got with God. I said, okay, what's going on in this? And God just lovingly said, you know, she's not your enemy. She didn't know I was going to say this today. She's not your enemy. She's there to help you. She's your helpmate. I gave her to you. She's a gift from me. Well, thank you. And I am thankful. I am very thankful. But at the time, I was frustrated. She's not there to hurt you. She's there to help you. And I share that, you know, I let you in sometimes on the inside of my life for a few reasons. One, because I know I know what you're going through, what many of you are facing as well. And I'm dealing with some of the same things. But it's the point is that sometimes we're like that with God. We're talking to God, and He's trying to say something to our life. And it's to heal us. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to help you. He is not your enemy. He's your friend. And what He's speaking into your life is meant to heal you. It's not meant to hurt you. He's there to help you. Jesus is wanting to heal you. That's what He wants to do in our lives. Don't let your heart be hard. A made-up mind and a hard heart sometimes comes between what God is wanting to do in our lives. In many ways, God wants to heal us. We come with our ideas and our beliefs, a made-up mind and a made-up heart, and we don't really listen to God. And here's the reason why we don't listen. It's because a lot of times we really just don't trust Him. We don't trust the motive. Jennifer wasn't trying to hurt me. That wasn't the motive of her heart. God's not ever trying to hurt you. The motive of His heart is healing in your life. That's the motive of the heart of Jesus. That's what He says. All of this dissertation that He talks about here in Matthew chapter 13, I only read one verse, but the whole thing, what He's trying to do is he makes it clear in the end of that statement. He says, I want to heal you. They won't listen unless they turn and they're converted and I heal them. That's what He's saying there. He wants to heal you. Let me tell you what Jesus is actually talking about in this passage that made people so hard. Why were they so hard? Because if you go back and if you read it in context, please try to zero in on this. Why were they so hard? Why had they already made up their mind? What was it that made their hearts so hard? What did He say in context here? What He's actually talking about is His kingdom. He shares a parable. I may share that parable here in just a minute. But He shares this parable with them. In context, He's talking about His kingdom. In my discussion with my wife, I said, oh, I know about the kingdom. I know all about the kingdom. I don't know why so many people are so confused about this. I got it figured out. That was a dumb thing to say. That was really actually a dumb thing to say, because here's the truth. The more I learn about the kingdom, the more I realize I don't know about the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about this place, this realm where He reigns. And people are rejecting this. They don't want to hear about this. Let's step back in time for just a moment to that moment in time, to that place in history, and think about that. Put yourself in the shoes of the people that were listening to Jesus. He was a carpenter. There was nothing, the Bible actually says, there's nothing really impressive about him, the way he looked or anything like that. He was really, seemed like just an average guy who was a carpenter up until he was about 30 years old. And he was from Nazareth. And there was actually a common saying in the day, nothing good comes from Nazareth. So he didn't have the pedigree necessarily, it didn't seem. He didn't come from the right place. He didn't have the right position in life. And yet all of a sudden he stands up and he starts saying, I'm a king. And not only that, he says, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm the Messiah that you've been waiting on. In other words, he says, I'm God. If you step back into their shoes, into that time frame, and you put it into that context, it's kind of a no wonder that some of them were like, wait a minute, this doesn't fit our idea of what or who God should be, what God should do. And even though they saw the evidence, that's what he's saying, they see, but they don't see. They saw the miracles. They saw the positive impact that he made in people's lives for eternity. And they heard the words that he taught. And even the Pharisees and the scribes said, he teaches like I've heard no other person teach. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. They're not really listening because Jesus didn't fit their idea of who God was, or what he would do. In other words, they didn't believe. They didn't believe that he was king, that he was Lord, that he was Messiah, that he was God. He's talking about his kingdom. And that's why they got upset. That's why they hardened their hearts. In order for Jesus to heal you, he wants to heal you, number one. But number two, in order for him to heal you, Jesus has to lead you. He has to lead you. Jesus wants to heal us, but first, we have to let him lead us. This is what it means when it says the word turn here. In Matthew 13, 15, again, it says, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. The King James says to be converted. But we have to turn. We have to be converted. Turn from being the king of our own life. And let Jesus start leading our lives. That's what the word repentance actually means. It's to change our mind, our made-up mind, our blockheaded mind sometimes, our calloused hard-heartedness. We have to turn from that and say, I'm not going to lead my life anymore. I'm not going to be the king of my life anymore. Jesus, I'm going to let you lead you. And there is a big difference between lead and control. The devil wants to control you. Sometimes other people might want to control you. They're influenced by the devil. But Jesus wants to lead you. He wants to lead you. And he's a good leader. He's a good king. He's a good Lord. He's a good God. And I may not know much about the kingdom of God, or as much as I think I do anyway, but I do know it's that place where Jesus reigns. That place where Jesus reigns. And the scripture tells us that his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It also says, 1 Corinthians, it says that his kingdom is not in word but in power. And so there's this place of his power, his ability, his authority. And so when there's confusion in my life, when there's fear in my life, when there's feelings of rejection in my life, when there's no peace in my life, when there's no joy, he's not reigning. Because he leads us to that place where there's peace. He leads us to that place where there's joy. He leads us to that place where we know that he loves us, that we're in right standing with him because of what Jesus did at the cross, that place of righteousness. And he leads us to that place of power where there's power in his spirit. The fruit of his spirit is being manifest. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Sometimes we wish that last one wasn't on there, don't we? But he leads us to that place of peace. You need. How many of you sometimes you say, man, I wish there's more just peace in my life. Just just need more peace. I need more joy. Listen, that's where he leads us. That's where he reigns. I don't know. Maybe I don't know as much about the kingdom of God as I thought I did, but here's the truth. I do know it's that place where Jesus reigns. And there's peace and there's joy. There's power. There's his fruit being manifested in us. It's a good place where Jesus leads us. He's not there to control, but he does want to lead you. Where he leads, there's a place of rest. Rest follows where he leads. Peace, joy. Here's another thing, blessing. Healing happens. When there's turmoil in my life, when there's strife, I'm trying to wrest control back from him. W-R-E-S-T, like the word wrestle. I'm trying to wrestle control back from him. But when I just say, lead me to Jesus, you be the king. I'm not going to be the king. You be the king. He brings that healing. Healing happens. Rest follows. R-E-S-T. So that's pretty good, actually. You can either rest in God or you can wrestle with God. You can have turmoil in your life, chaos in your life. Who wants that? We need peace. Peace that passes understanding. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In that place where Jesus leads. This is what it really means to turn, to be converted. It means to repent and to change your mind and your heart. It's basically saying, God, I don't want to have a hard heart. Lead me. I'll follow. I'll follow you, Lord. So my charge to you this last Sunday of this year, this last sermon in this message series is number three, listen to Jesus. Pretty simple, huh? Don't be like these who they plug their ears and they close their eyes and I'll say, I'll not have this man lead me. I'll not have this God lead me. Don't be hard-hearted. Instead, open your eyes to see, open your ears to hear, open your heart to be soft. Oops, I forgot I have a new microphone there. Open your heart to be, I've got to do it over here. Open your heart to be soft before God. Don't let your heart grow hard. Listen, really listen. Jesus is speaking to you. You'd be wise to listen. And healing comes when we listen to the direction of our Savior. This is the key to a relationship with God, honestly. This is the key really to any relationship. Listen. Listen to the heart. Dig in, engage. What is he really saying in your life? How is he leading you? You are known by God. You can know him. You can have a relationship with him. But it starts with saying, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to let you lead me. I'm going to let you lead me to that place of healing, that place of spiritual, emotional, physical, mental health and life, that place of hope, that place of peace, that place of joy. This is the parable that started this whole thing. And I'm going to leave you with this parable today. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like a farmer who went out and sowed seed, planted seed. Some of the seed fell by the wayside and was trampled underfoot and carried away by the birds. Some of the seed, it fell on rocky, stony soil. And it sprang up immediately, but because there was no depth of ground, when the trials and the tribulations come, when the persecution, the problems came, it quickly withered away and was not fruitful. Some of the seed, it fell on the thorny ground. Some of the seed fell on that ground that had thorns and thistles and weeds, and as it grew, the thorns choked it out. And Jesus said, that's the worries and the cares of this life. And that's the deceitfulness of riches, that envy, always wanting more and more, striving for more and more and more, busyness, more and more and more. Life choked it out. But he said, but some of the seed fell on the good soil. And it produced a tremendous harvest. When we are letting Jesus, listening to Jesus, letting Him lead us, leading us to that place of healing, we're going to see great fruit in our life. But not only that, we're going to see other people's lives change. We're not just going to know Him and know that we're known by Him, but we're going to make Him known to others. Our life becomes a living witness, a living testimony to the healing power of God, how much He loves us. So Jesus is speaking to you today. What kind of people are you? What kind of people are you? Are you the wayside people that just hear it and immediately it's gone? You walk out the door and it doesn't make any change in your life whatsoever. Are you the people that are kind of shallow? Who wants that any more than being a callous person? You say, yes, I want this. But then when at the first sign of trouble, you ditch your faith. Or maybe you're just so busy. You need this peace that I'm talking about. You need this healing. But you're seeking after these things that cause you worry or strife. It's like those thorns that are choking out your relationship with God. What kind of soil are you? Do you want to be good soil today that takes this word of His kingdom and is planted deep in your heart and you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to listen to You. I'm going to let You lead me to that place of healing. What is Jesus saying to you today?